Hi, Charzon.
Oh, hi, Susan. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I was thinking about this experience I had where over the holidays, my sister-in-law, she decided that she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom with her baby. And we were all like, great, that's awesome. And then I saw her over the holidays and we had some friends in town. And one of the friends asked her, so what are you doing? Are you like on maternity leave right now? And she was like, no, I actually chose to quit my job, take care of my baby. And I saw this friend basically freak out on her. It got to the point where I had to be like, okay, I think she's heard enough. I think she's a big girl. She can handle herself, that kind of thing. And my friend had to take a step back and be like, okay. And then she kept going anyway. And it was so surprising to see this like shame that my sister-in-law was getting for choosing to be a stay-at-home mom.
God, you can't fucking win.
No.
You can work. You can not work. You can work part-time. You can be at work from home, play at home. You can be whatever the fuck. And somebody is going to have an issue with how you're raising mm-hmm. your kid, and it drives me insane.
It drives me insane, It's crazy.
And it boils my blood.
It really does, and yeah. I think it's one of those things where it's like, there's all these things that you come to realize when you're a first time mom that you didn't expect.
Oh yeah,
and that's kind of why I wanted her to talk about it.
I know. So she's here to talk about it.
You guys, this is my sister-in-law, Laura Dayalan. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So I've heard bits of this story, and
it's so insane to me.
I have to say, it just enrages me that somebody would shame any mom.
And she wasn't even trying to shame her. I think tell us. Well, you've experienced this more than once.
You know what's really interesting to me is just the fact that everyone has an opinion, whether or not you chose to work or be at stay at home. But I feel like in today's day and age, everyone is kind of gone the other extreme, where it's like working women are how it is. It's just mm-hmm. like you're expected to have a kid and work nowadays. And mm-hmm. I think like,
and you're expected to be a thin twig,
yes, exactly,
and with perky tits that nurses their baby, but not too
you're
much. And you
to,
feed them organic,
the
and you go
thing.
To the playground,
yeah,
and you respond to all your emails, and you crush life, and you fuck your husband all the time, and you just can't fucking win.
I
sometimes
know. I don't get it. And so I always feel like there's always that, like, I have to offer like a caveat to why mm-hmm. I stayed home, which is mm-hmm. so sad that I have to come up with like some kind of excuse. But this was like, this is not the only time, but Susan got to see it firsthand. And it was just, it wasn't just like one comment. It was like for an hour and a half straight.
Really?
My dad was
yes.
exhausted.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Susan's dad walked
into
the other room,
yeah,
came
goes,
back.
Wow, that German girl is a lot.
It was really bad.
I obviously don't know the full story, yeah, but I think,
Basically, you trigger women specifically when you tell them you've chosen to stay at home.
So, you know, we were just having a conversation about, you know, maternity leave, and I told her that I had made this decision to stay home. And, you know, it really, like, I'm lucky enough that my husband and I had a conversation and I could either go back to work or not, which a lot of people don't get that choice, but right, I could choose either one. And I ended up deciding I really wanted to stay home. It's not that often that you are a first-time mom and get to have all this time to just like be there with your baby. And so for me, that was the choice I wanted to make. And I was telling her that. And right off the bat, she was like, I can't believe you would do that. You are literally going to lose yourself. You need to make your own money so you have your own independence. And just kept going on and on and on about like how I was going to lose myself by not working and how I wouldn't be able to get back into the workforce if I wanted to. And I needed to keep, you know, my mental like game up or something, you know, by having someone, you know, to go to work or having, you know, something outside of the home was pretty much what she was talking about. And I just kept trying to be like, but I don't think you understand. I think you lose yourself regardless of staying at home or going to work, like in not a bad way, but becoming a mom is a whole new experience. And I think everyone, you've lived your life for so long, or even if you're like a young mom, you still have those experiences just by yourself being selfish. And then you, all of a sudden you have a child that you have to like care for. So I think you're going to lose yourself regardless. And so to me, I was trying to explain to her, like, I don't think working would have changed that at all.
Right.
Well, it's not even that. It's your fucking decision.
I know.
Like, what the hell?
But that's what I mean. As I feel like as a stay-at-home mom, you have to like offer all these like caveats to why or excuses.
Yeah. You know what it
so
sounds
sad.
Like? It is sad. And it sounds like it was this woman's total insecurity that she felt maybe. Did she stay at home or work?
I know her whole thing. So there were two things that were happening. One, she had chosen to stay at home with her first child.
And she was probably
and she kind of was miserable. She had a hard time getting back into the workforce.
Yep.
Because she took like 3 years off. And I don't even think she meant to take a full 3 years off. And then she decided to start her own business. And then her business partner started going through a divorce right at that moment. She literally, after you left, started telling me about how her business partner was going through a divorce. And the guy was in charge of their finances mostly. And so she was worried for her business partner and stuff, and how it's like so important to have your own money and all that kind of stuff. And I get that. I totally understand that point of view, but she was basically projecting on you.
It's so unfortunate that it came out in the negative, shamey way that it did. But it sounds like her intentions maybe were good, and that she was trying to offer some
loving advice. Yeah, but then she just unsolicited, and she just doesn't let it go.
And it was also her insecurity, because I think whenever somebody says something negative about another person's way of mothering, it's their insecurity, right? It's some maybe childhood issue or self-esteem issue or something that they have that they're projecting on somebody
like
else.
Like any kind of shame, right?
Any kind of shame. So she obviously felt like some kind of shame when she was a stay-at-home mom for whatever reason, whatever experience shaped her that way.
And I think that's
why.
But
why shame somebody else? Did she realize that she was affecting you?
I don't know if she did or not, because she just kept going at it for like hours. It was not just one comment, which I could understand maybe an insecurity and like wanting to help me or like say a piece of advice for me, but it just kept going on and she wouldn't let it go. And I just felt that she had no idea what she was doing.
So wait, this isn't the first time though. Like you get this a lot. So how are you handling this now?
Well, what's interesting is like I get a lot of people who, you know, when I say, oh, I'm stay at home, a lot of people are like, ooh, I can't believe you're choosing to do that. And then they'll go into some story about why either they didn't like being a stay-at-home mom or, you know, someone else that they knew was a stay-at-home mom. I think I had one woman who was talking to me about, oh, her sister stayed at home and her sister's kids have turned out kind of screwy.
it's a crapshoot, whether you stay at home or work. Exactly. I just got to break that to everybody here.
Her thing was, it's more about the quality time spent, not the quantity. And
well,
I was just like,
guys, you just can't win no matter what you do, because you could have somebody who's working 60-hour weeks, who's a mom, feeling, you know, complete shame and, you know, disrespect from other people. It's so frustrating. You really can't win. Susan, you know, I gotta say, I feel kind of sorry for you.
Why? What?
Well, I feel like you were pregnant and nursing for so long, and you know, you really missed out on using a lot of CBD products, but you have no excuse anymore.
I actually have no excuse, and I have been very curious about CBD products because I have never tried them, because I feel like I've been knocking out babies. It's like 3 years of knocking out babies, breastfeeding, knocking out another baby, and then breastfeeding.
And now
so
you're
I'm
done.
Very curious. What do you recommend?
Well, I really like Hemfusion. I've been using it a lot. Not all CBDs are created equal, and this one really stands out to me. I really like it because it helps with stress, sleep, and energy, and it's got some really interesting ingredients like omegas, which I know you're a fan of.
I actually am a fan of omegas. I love the good fats, and I hear that when you combine CBD with good ingredients like omegas that are good for your body in general, I hear it makes it just a better product.
It is absolutely a better product, and you know, anything that is going to help me with stress, sleep, and energy, sign me up, because I'm tired.
And you guys, you can try it and get 20% off of your first order and free shipping. You just got to go to hempfusion.com and use our code. It's FAM, F-A-M. That's our promo code, F-A-M, FAM, and you get Hempfusion shipped anywhere in the U.S.
Woo!
Let's talk about the pros and cons of being a stay-at-home mom, because we've tried to talk about it and we're not stay-at-home moms. So I think we need to hear it from the stay-at-home mom.
Yeah. So
tell us the pros, tell us the cons.
I mean, the pros are is I get to be there for every developmental milestone. I feel like I'm really influencing a lot of those key pieces of who she's becoming. You know, I just think like she has a bad day and her mom's there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a daughter who has a horrible separation anxiety. And I think, you know, I do have help. So I am able to like come do something like this or, you know, be able to like go to a workout class or just have that freedom back to myself. But I do love the fact that I get to do bedtime every night. I'm not missing any of those things that, you know, my sister, she's back at work and, you know, it's hard for her, you know, realizing that she's not getting to, she only gets an hour in the evening to spend with her son before he goes to bed.
Oh,
and
that's so sad.
It's hard. And I totally get that.
And he's only, what, four months?
Four months,
Leslie. Well, old, wait, first off, everybody, my niece's name, Laura's daughter, is Langley. And how old is Langley? Name.
She is almost 11 months.
All right.
She's so cute. She is your mini.
Yeah.
See, I don't see that at all. It's so funny.
I just
saw
her, obviously, not that long ago. And I was like, oh, she's your mini. She's just a titch darker hair.
Yeah, she's got darker
hair. She's got your eyes, though.
But see, I think she has my husband's eyes.
This is a whole other topic. Oh, you know, yeah, I'll tell you what I think a positive is, and I think about this all the time, is you get to be there in emergencies, too. And I don't mean, like, crazy emergencies, but if you need to, like, you know, you're going to start experiencing if she goes to preschool and all that kind of stuff, you know, the things like having to suddenly pick her up or, you know, something happen, being able to take her to the doctor when you need to, all that kind of stuff. I think about this sometimes, and I'm like, how do people, my husband with a day job, he can't just leave work at any moment, like at the drop of a dime, to have to go pick up our kids, you know?
Right.
So it's something that I think is really important. And, you know, I've had moments where I've been like, you know, I'm working for a client and I am at a video shoot and I'm like, why am I dealing with this asshole when I could be literally cuddling with my child right now?
Yeah.
But instead I'm working for this jerk right here. You know?
Walk me through, like, the decision to become a stay-at-home mom. What were you, and has it been what you expected?
Mm-hmm. So, yes and no. It has been what I expected and hasn't been. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of cons to being a stay-at-home mom, and I hate to use cons.
I mean, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, exactly. But, so the decision is I took maternity leave, so I was still planning on going back to work. And then my husband decided to take a job up in San Francisco. So we live in Los Angeles, but he works in San Francisco during the week.
Oh, geez, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And so that played a huge factor in my decision to stay at home. But it also, in my work, I was traveling a bunch. Mm. And I think,
like, when she says traveling, like, she was going to the Philippines.
Oh, yeah. Really?
So, you know, international traveling.
Oh, yeah.
And also just, you know, where I was in my career, I think when I would come back to maternity leave, I was expected to be on again, you know.
Because were you a director? You were
high up. I mean, I was just like a senior manager level, mm-hmm. but, you know, if I wanted to get to be a director or a VP, you know, I was going to be putting in way more than 40 hours a week. I was expected to travel a lot more, you know, and my kind of job, I worked in, you know, one of those kind of cool, like, glamorous, bougie type jobs in LA, where, like,
in fashion,
they expect you to go and, you know, have drinks with clients and, like, do all the after work activities that if you don't go and do, you're never going to get promoted. It's just kind of how it is.
Yeah.
It's like you have to be seen at all these type of events. And when I didn't have a child, fine. But as soon as she was born, I was like, I don't know if I want to be doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and I am lucky enough where I didn't have to go back to work. So it was a really nice decision that I can make without feeling pressure either way. And I chose to stay at home with her because
you wanted to and you could. Exactly. And that's such a cool experience.
It's like, you know, it's like I equate it to taking another job. You know, someone might want to switch careers because they want to pursue something that they're really interested in. And this is something in this moment of time that I'm really interested in doing, is staying at home and being there with her.
And it is a whole nother job.
Yes. Listen, being a mom is the hardest job I've ever had.
I like to refer to it as, like, the ultimate shit show. Yeah. I, like, literally, I've never experienced anything as hard as being a mom.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. I think so let's talk about those cons, for lack of a better word, cons.
I mean, being a stay-at-home mom is isolating. It's exhausting. I mean, just dealing with a newborn, I'm sorry, but there is, like, no, like, any mental stimulation at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you're pretty much there staring at a blob for months at an end.
A cute blob,
and
but a blob.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure because you got to, like, get the baby to sleep. You got to get the baby to eat. You got to take care of it. I mean, just all kinds of things. And, you know, in my case, I'm not complaining, but my husband being gone most weeks, it's hard because I was the only one. And I did that for 6 months with no help.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine. I used to make Arun just... Yeah. I'd be like, take the baby. No. Yeah,
so, you know, I look at like, you know, even my sister, too. Her husband and her both come home from their jobs at the end of the day and they can take turns at night, you know, and with a newborn, they're up every 2 hours eating. And I didn't have that. So I was exhausted. And so.
Right. Because it's almost like not that my brother-in-law, Raj, your husband is a bad dad, but he's busy working. It's kind of like you've taken that on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost expected, right? Even if he's not putting that expectation on you, it's just almost expected that.
Well, I also think it's just kind of a shocker for most men. It's like,
men.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm not trying to give him any excuse whatsoever, but I think it's a bigger learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like we kind of just see the baby and attend to its needs, where a guy might see the baby and not.
They don't connect right away. Arun's only now connecting with Nikosh.
Exactly.
Now that he's like a toddler.
Yeah.
Like the last year I've really seen him connect with Nikosh. He's still kind of like, oh, with Isla. Like, I don't know what to do with her.
Exactly. And I think, you know, trying to like figure out that communication style between your spouse and you on figuring out who does what was really hard for
Did
us.
Did you talk about it? Because I think a lot of people kind of breeze over that and it can cause tension and fights in a relationship. Yeah.
Are you expected to like wash the clothes, cook,
and
do
laundry.
All that kind of stuff too because you're staying home?
Yeah, I think those things are worth discussing and just
for
thinking
sure.
about because there are a lot of things that need to be done to keep a household functioning.
Right.
Stocking the fridge, cooking the dinner, planning
the
meals.
I don't think people realize all the back end. It's not
that
you're just taking care of a kid. You're also doing all the things for that child too.
Right.
And you know, like washing bottles takes a long time.
Laundry.
You know? Yeah. And
so much time.
It's not like you can just put the kid down and be like, all right, take a nap for an hour and a half and I can get stuff done.
Right.
Like a kid might only want a nap for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So who knows?
And you don't know what you're getting with any baby.
Exactly.
You don't know if you're going to get the chill baby. Even if you have a chill baby, you might have a baby who has a growth spurt and they are so upset. And you just can't count on what's going to happen.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah. It's just so we did have a talk about who does what. And it was more in the sense of I just broke down. That first 6 months was so hard. I have a bunch of friends and I don't know how they did it. They don't have help. They do it all. And they're super moms to me. And so for me, my expectation going into this was I can do this. Mm-hmm. If all my friends can do it, I can do it. And then you start to talk to your friends and they're like, oh, it was miserable. It was so hard. And it's stuff that people don't tell you about that I really wish people told you on the front end before you have a child. It's like, this is going to be so hard. Accept help. Like, try to get as much as possible. Because I'm one of those people who I'm not going to ask for help. And I think I can do it all until I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally had a breaking point. And it wasn't my husband's fault. It wasn't anyone's fault but my own because I just wouldn't ask for help.
Mm. Yeah, I did that. I know what you're talking about. I thought I was, now I'm like, here. But first baby, you just kind of, I think there's just a lot with the first baby.
Well,
right?
I also think there's a pressure when you're stay at home too to be like, you have to do it because
this is what you decided to do.
You don't have
a
job technically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're supposed to take care of the baby and that's
and deal.
It.
So
yeah.
How do you manage stress so that you don't have another breakdown?
I mean, we got help.
Okay.
So,
but it took 6 months.
We ended up finding an amazing nanny. She's part time because, you know, I am stay at home and I really do want to spend as much time with my child. So, you know, but those days that she's there, I'm able to get a workout in. I'm able to like see friends. I belong to an awesome mom group, which I think really helped manage my stress. It's just like a little community here in Los Angeles that we can talk about anything. We also have like a teacher who can talk about certain topics, which has been super helpful for me. And I think just being able to talk to friends and family openly, honestly, helps really manage stress. And my husband, too. I think, you know, he saw my breakdown in a sense of like, he didn't realize how much I was struggling because, you know, he was wrapped up in being like, I'm the sole provider now. And he was stressed
and traveling.
He took a new job. And so I think we both just, and you throw a kid into the mix, it just
fucks everything up.
Yeah, it totally does. And I think we now have a really great, we talk when we see something. So we used to like let things go for a while. And then all of a sudden it would just come to blows being like, I can't believe you haven't helped with the kid all week, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Versus I need help now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the once they get a little bit older too, I think it starts becoming a little bit easier. You become more confident, but as a first time mom with a newborn, it is so rough.
I think you brought up some really good things though about how to manage stress in general as a mom, which is like getting involved with a mom group, which there are so many of them around the world. You just kind of have to actively look for them. How did you find yours?
So a friend of mine recommended mine, and that's how I found it. But, you know, some people don't have access to that. And yeah. I really think like that Facebook group that you guys have is so great, too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't actively participate. I'm not the best at social media, but I will say that I get notifications on my phone on topics. And some of those topics, I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. Or that makes a lot of sense. Or like someone else is going through something. And just to hear other people's experience and make it feel that you're not so isolated.
Yes.
You're not the only one whose kid doesn't sleep through the night or whatever it may be. You know, it's really helpful.
My sister gets so mad when she hears other people's babies are just sleeping perfectly through the night. Like, she just sent me a screenshot the other day.
Sleep through the night.
hers doesn't either. Yeah. And she gets, and like, obviously there are babies that sleep through the night and that's great. But she has somebody she knows who has a baby that's just like apparently perfect and sleeps like 12 hours every night. And my sister gets so pissed.
Well, you know, my mom is so funny. My mom, and I was telling her all this, she goes, everyone lies. She
does.
It's such a lie.
They do. Yeah. Everyone lies. It's
especially
absolutely
with
true.
With social media, you just like want to fake the funk. Not you, just people in general, like want to be like, my baby's perfect.
Or some people are ashamed. Like, they don't want to act like something's really going wrong. I know that feeling. Like, it's partially that first time mom thing, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to act like anything's bothering you. You kind of don't even notice that it's bothering you until it finally like just is too
comes
much.
To a head.
And you're like, oh my God, I'm going to flip out. But I can see like some people lie. I remember lying. Remember I told you that story? I lied to the nurse second night in the hospital. I was like falling asleep with Nikash in my arms, and I was going to drop him probably. And the nurse kept being like, you can't hold him while you're falling asleep. And I was like, I'm not sleeping. And I still to this day don't know why I lied to her. It's like, I just didn't want her to take my baby away or something.
I just feel like as a first time mom, you just have a lot of pressure on you. And I think it starts from the moment you have a baby. Like, you are expected to breastfeed right away. Mm-hmm. You're expected, like, I'd a C-section, get up and take care of your kid right away. It's all kinds of things that start from day one. And it's a lot.
It is a lot.
And so I think you just have that mentality of like, I just have to do this, even though it's so much harder than it is. And you really should ask for help as much as possible.
Oh, I agree with that. That's one of the things that I'm so proud of my sister for, is just accepting help and asking for help. And she asks me and her husband a lot. And I'm really proud of her, because it's making her transition to motherhood just a slightly more enjoyable experience. But it's such a hard thing to wrap your head around, like asking for help, especially if you're used to like being in a high powered position with work, and you're used to like being the one to shell out orders and
at work
shit.
You get a nice feedback loop where people are always they're like, you did a great job today. Or like, you know, you need to work on something.
I know.
Where at home you don't have
moms do not get that feedback loop. Susan, you look so good. I know you're loving Noom.
I do. I love my Noom app. It's really helping me to lose weight and feel like I'm a little bit healthier. What I really love about it is that I've been logging my food, which I never did before, and they help me keep track of that. But at the same time, it's like a healthy, it's not a diet. It's like healthy way
of
living.
'Cause you hate diets.
I hate diets. I love to have my burgers and my sushi and all of it. I want to eat what I want to eat, but they help you learn that no food is good, no food is bad or off limits. They're just teaching you moderation, and that's the best way for me. You know, if you're human like me and you get off track, no one shames you. I have this goal specialist. She checks in with me every once in a while to keep me on track. And I absolutely love that, because it's the only way that I'm going to actually lose a little bit of weight.
I agree. And you don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/fam. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/fam to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/fam.
I think that's what's so hard about being a first-time mom is, even, you know, I feel like people told me a lot of shit to expect. And when I think back on it, when I first had Nikash, I was like, why didn't anybody tell me this? And then I'm like, wait, I think someone did tell me about this. But I didn't really like absorb like the gravity of it, like the no sleep thing. That first couple of weeks when you feel like a zombie and someone's torturing you and you think, maybe I want to put the baby back, you know, like take it back. It's like nobody could prepare you.
That no sleep thing, as considered a stay at home mom, you know, that's where my husband and I would get into some arguments. It was just because I have to go to work. And I'm like, I also have to work tomorrow. Like, yeah. I have to be on with her all day also.
Right, so, you can't just take a nap unless she's taking a nap, but then you'd have to, like, be napping with her.
Exactly.
And
I also had a child who didn't nap either. Didn't sleep, didn't nap, whatever. And so, you know, but you can't argue with the fact that, yes, someone has to go to work technically and make a paycheck to be able to support the family, but you're also working. And so it's really hard to try to...
And healing, P.S.
Yes. Try to have people understand that. And I think that's what's also a con about being a stay-at-home mom is sometimes you feel like you just have to have that burden on you of like, well, I guess because I'm not going to work, I just have to be the one up all night long and up all day. And it's hard, you know. I think that's where people with their partners really have to like talk about it, you know. Yeah. And so we have a good rhythm now where my husband will help tremendously on the weekends. And, you know, if he's home, he does, because he has early morning calls. While I'm up in the middle of the night, I get to sleep in a little bit in the morning. And so he gets her up with 6:30, which is great and so nice. But it took a while for us to figure that out.
Well, how did you have those kinds of obviously, the first time was like, you were basically like, fuck you. No, you kind of were, right?
It is, because I think you just, it's really hard to verbalize what you need. I think
you don't really know what you need
right
away.
You're just like, you're stressed, you're tired. It's also like, it's a whole new experience for you. So
and your partner too.
Totally. Yeah. And so it's really hard to verbalize exactly what you need. And so it took me several months to figure out what it is that I needed him to do. Like, I just expected he would see me struggling and he would just like magically get up and like take the baby and be like, honey, I love you so much. You sleep for these 2 hours. Well, ideal. But you just forget, like, they're also tired. It's not like they're doing something else too. While, you know, my husband always says I have the harder job, which I do think raising a child is so hard. And I'm lucky in the sense that, yes, I get to stay home and I don't have to go to a job and raise a child. I mean, I think all moms have it so rough, whether you're a stay-at-home or working mom. But yeah, having that communication is so key. But we really struggled for months at first. Yeah. It was just hard.
Do you feel like you're getting into a groove? And if so, what do you think are some other things that kind of helped you find your groove?
I mean, I think we are getting into groove. And then, you know, with a child, there's always some weird developmental leap or sleep regression that throws it for
a
loop.
Crawling and walking and all of a sudden it's like a whole new ballgame.
You know, and so what we made a promise to each other was like, the moment we see someone do something that we don't like or we need help for, we should ask in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think instead of just like letting it go until it like really builds up.
Yeah.
And I think that was the problem. And, you know, sometimes it hurts each other's feelings to be like, hey, I didn't like the way you said that to me, or you really didn't handle that situation well. But it's been really helpful for
us.
And
when she's saying we say that to each other, she means like she's probably telling him, because I'm constantly the one telling Arun.
Well, I will say, like, I've been like, normally I'm a really nice, I like to say nice person to my husband. But since having a kid, I snap so quickly.
And
I know, like, he's super sensitive about tonality. And so I've been really working on how trying not to snap and more just ask nicely, because it goes a lot farther, but it's been really hard.
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah.
This is going to be a continuation.
You guys have no idea yet.
Are their fatherhood styles similar?
No, I don't think they're similar in any way.
I don't think so either.
No, they're very, very different.
They're only like 2 years apart, right?
Yeah, but they're very different. I mean, like, Raj is like the ambitious, like, go-getter, first child.
Mm-hmm.
And Arun's kind of like the baby, like, whatever, if I fuck up, I fuck up. My mom thinks I'm cute, like that kind of kid.
Yeah,
you know?
Raj is really like married to his job.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, even if he's home, he's still constantly doing work calls, emails all through the night, all in the morning. And so, like, even to get him put his phone down for 20 minutes, it's really difficult.
Oh, interesting.
Well, that's where they're the same. Arun doesn't have an actual, like, work stuff to look at, but he can't put his phone down.
Okay, interesting.
And they both really like TV.
Yeah, they love TV. Yeah. But I think that's a dad thing, right? Like, they like, their dad loves TV, too.
Oh.
I think they love TV.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the only, like, really main common thing is they love
I will say what's been really hard with Raj is he likes to chill, which I get it. Like, you've had a long week.
Wait, this is who they are. She's about to explain my husband, too. Go for it.
So they like to chill.
With,
and,
like, a scotch or something.
Yeah, exactly. And they just don't want to be bothered, and they want to have that quiet time to themselves. And it's been one of the biggest pieces of contention with us, being like, you have a child now. You don't get to chill anymore.
I don't chill.
You don't
do
see
you get
me
to chill.
And my husband's this is where he's funny. He's just like, well, can't we just hire another person to help? I'm like, you can't just hire people to take so you can chill more. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, it's just something that I think he's learning to realize, like, especially we have a daughter who's now crawling and she's starting to try to walk. And so while it was easier when she was younger, he could put her on the floor and he could just relax for a little bit. He can't do that anymore. Yeah. And so I think for me being like, hey, you got to get up. She's going to get into the dog food. She's going to like touch an electrical socket, something. You have to do this.
Just wait till you guys have two. He's going to have his world turned upside down. It'll be fine. Yeah. He will be fine.
Oh, I know.
But that,
when you say
relaxation...
he will be fine, you mean her husband will be okay?
Yeah.
I know, right?
No, I think it's funny to make fun of husbands every now and then when they complain, because I'm like, you don't know what we've gone through.
I know.
Not at all.
It's Where's your stretch marks?
It always pisses me off. Arun does the same exact thing, where he gets home and the one thing I've tried to stop doing is he says that I attack him immediately. The minute he walks in the door, I'm like, so this just happened. Can you go and do this? Grab this for me and blah, blah. And he was like, can I just walk in the door and give me like 2 seconds to take my shoes off and sit down for a second?
Like, take a beat.
And, you know, so I get where he's coming from with that. But like the whole like he's got to pour himself a scotch, make some snacks, get a bowl of snacks for himself and sit down on the couch and turn the TV on. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I haven't watched TV in 3 months, so
it's not like you've been eating snacks all day either.
Exactly. It's like, you need to help me out now. It's time. You're never turning off. And that's just the way it goes.
Girl, you look like you slept on a purple mattress last night. You look good.
I do feel really good. You know what makes a purple mattress different is they have a purple grid, and it feels very unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time. So you feel like everything's supported while you're really comfortable. It's also breathable, so you sleep really nice and cool instead of sweaty.
And it ends up giving you this zero gravity-like feel, so it works for any sleeping position.
I like that. They also have in-home setup and an old mattress removal. So if you have an old mattress that you want to get rid of, they take it. And they also have a 100-night risk-free trial. So if you're not fully satisfied, which is kind of the best promise, they'll actually take it back and give you a full refund.
I love that they also have a 10-year warranty, and you can get free shipping and returns when ordered from purple.com.
You guys are going to love Purple. And right now, for our listeners, you get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great deals that they're already offering site-wide.
Just text FAM to 84888. The only way to get this free pillow is to text FAM to 84888. That's one word, FAM to 84888. Message and data rates may apply.
Where's Langley at now in like development and stuff? Are you feeling like she's
I think she's perfect, but
obviously
I think
she
all
is.
Moms think their kids are perfect. You know, the one thing that developmentally she's not hitting is she doesn't sleep through the night. And I know
she was for a second, I thought.
She sleeps through the night in terms of she sleeps, she will cry to eat, and then she'll go right back down. So like we don't have issues with her like falling asleep or napping or anything. Like she's great about sleeping on her own and in her own room and all this stuff, but she likes to eat and she's a big girl, which
she's
I love.
A big chubby girl.
She's very chubby and chunky, but you know, our pediatrician's like, she doesn't need to be eating anymore. And so like I've tried for several nights to not feed her, and it is like 3 hours of screaming, and so it's just easier for me to feed her now. Do I have to commit and do this for like a week to stop her? Yeah, but I'm too tired to do that.
I know. It's so hard.
But other than that, I mean, she's crawling. She's pulling herself up the stand. She's saying words now, which is really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, she just has this little like very sweet personality, but she's also, you know, very demanding and dramatic and, you know, with strangers likes to cry a bunch, and which, you know, that's hard.
That
you
is
know,
hard.
You know, when you have a kid who doesn't want to be with a lot of random people, you know, then you just feel like, my kid, I swear, likes you. Just give her like
give
20
her
minutes to warm up.
Well, so are you planning to be a stay-at-home mom for a while, or are you...
You know, we want another kid, and we want one pretty close in age, if we can have that. My husband's quite a bit older than I am, and it's not like I'm getting any younger, so we might as well knock it out while we can.
Yeah.
So I don't see myself going back until I have my second kid, and I'm assuming probably they're in like preschool or have something to
like a regular routine.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Kind of fill their day.
Then yeah.
Probably go back or maybe do something on my own. I have no idea yet.
Yeah. You know, people can remember the decision to stay at home isn't necessarily like a permanent thing. It can be a temporary thing to take a beat and enjoy your family before you get back into the swing of things. Work will always be there, but little babies won't necessarily always be there because they grow, of course, you know? So
there are also, you know, like I remember thinking about this too. It's like childcare versus actually getting a paycheck. Is it worth it?
Like financially?
Yeah. Like sometimes I think about that kind of stuff. There are so many other little things to think about when you're trying to decide if you should go back to work. I mean, for me, like I've had friends say that they actually basically get a paycheck and pay daycare or nanny or something like that, but they just want to go to work because they need that kind of like break mentally.
Yeah.
Or they like get jealous of their husbands, like
or
going
like
back
if
to work
they've
and
worked
stuff.
Really hard in a career and they don't want to like quote unquote lose their place in line for any promotions in the future. I've heard moms say they want to like
go back
stay on.
Yeah. But at the same time, I feel like there are a lot of reasons to choose to stay home, not because you're in a situation financially that makes it like possible, but because sometimes it just makes more sense.
Yeah.
Right.
I completely agree. I think it's just an individual choice.
Right.
And I think it's like if you are lucky enough to like be able to have whatever gut feeling you are, like whether or not you want to go back to work, whether or not you want to stay home. I think that is really what drove my decision is I just had this gut feeling that I want to take this time and be home.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting. My mom worked our entire life. So I've always had the role model of a working mom.
She just retired, actually.
Yeah, she just retired. And, you know, I've respected that. I always liked that dynamic of having a role model of a woman who worked and worked really hard and worked long hours. And I thought that was really cool. And that's always what I assumed I would do. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I just got to this place where I wanted to stay home and I never wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. It was never my game plan. It was never what I thought I would do, but I just had this like gut feeling and I was able to make that decision. You know, we didn't have to deal with like the financial aspect of it where I know some people have to go back to work,
right?
Which I think that's so hard, you know, because if you want to stay home and you have to go back to work, that's really difficult to deal with. But, you know, I'm lucky enough in the sense that I can make that decision and just stay home.
Do you think stay-at-home moms in general have a bad reputation?
I think in today's climate, we do.
Yeah.
I think it used to be, you know, like in the 50s, that's like what you did to do.
And
now it's like considered like you want to be like a 50s housewife kind
of
thing.
Like there's pressure
like you're a
stepford
wife.
Yeah. Like it's, you know, it's like you're doing something wrong with your life. You're not, you know, like a go-getter or you're not like this feminist or you're not like wanting to feel empowered by, you know, making a paycheck or have a career or do something for yourself technically.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think it's just sad.
Yeah, honestly. I think so too. I think it's sad because we need stay-at-home moms. We need all kinds of moms.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have a question though. Do you love it? I mean, I know it's hard, but do you love it?
I hated it at first.
Okay.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't know this. See, these are things you weren't talking about.
I hate it. Well, because I think now that I can reflect on it, I hated it at first. And it was just because I'm a social person by nature and I like feeling, you know, appreciated and like you just there's something about going to work and making your own money and just feeling really good about yourself, doing a big presentation, having people like so excited that you just like crushed it or something like that. But so that was really a difficult transition for me. But now I absolutely love it.
Good.
Is it boring sometimes? Yes.
Yeah.
But the amount of time I get to spend with Langley and just like see her growth and I feel like just the way where she is in life, I just feel so proud that I've been able to do all that stuff with her. And like, you know, it just it's such a great feeling at the end of the day when I get to put her down for bed and like cook her all her meals and things like that, that I wouldn't have been able to do if I was a working mom.
Well, you have a great attitude because you're coming from a place of gratitude. And I can so see that because you talk about how fortunate you are that you get this opportunity.
Exactly.
And I just, it seems like you love it. I can tell.
Yeah, I do.
You know, you have a sparkle in your eye when you talk about spending time with your daughter. And I think that's so important in a big decision that you make that you're like proud of the one that you made. You know, and that you don't let shame and other people's opinions get in the way of the decision that you feel fucking good about.
For sure.
It's such a bummer that anybody could ever make any other mom feel some kind of shame.
I agree.
Unless you're a terrible mom, which there are some terrible moms out there. I love them. Not every mother is great. I mean, I think we can all agree. I could list quite a few that I hate right now.
Yeah.
But I can tell that you're passionate about it. And I think that's so wonderful. And I think it's important to point out the things that have helped you stay sane as a stay-at-home mom, like finding the mom groups, whether it's physical mom groups or social, and like communicating with your husband, like your needs for your sanity, mm-hmm. and finding any kind of help when you can so you can get out and have an adult conversation, whether it's recorded live as a podcast or like over drinks with a friend to
shoot the shit. Actually, give us a typical day. Like, you know, moms that go to work, they'll get up and I saw in our group, a mom was like, I have to get up at 5 a.m., take my kid to a daycare. My job is an hour away. So we drive for a whole hour, drop the kid off, and then I go to work and then pick my kid up. I know I felt so bad. I was like, I don't have that kind of a situation. And I was talking to my husband about it. I was like, I feel so bad that anybody has to have an hour commute, get up that early, and then spend the day at work. I mean, she's obviously doing it because she needs to or wants to, but
right. It's
still, you know, it makes you realize like how lucky you are sometimes when you don't have to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously you have a schedule as well, right?
It all revolves around naps.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And yep. Since she's eating solids, her, you know, feeding schedule as well. And so I'm a really scheduled person. At the beginning, I was like, I'm not going to have a schedule. You know, that's just not me. With a child, you have to have a schedule.
Absolutely. For your own sanity. It really boils down to your sanity as well.
Exactly. Right? Like, yeah, I mean, she takes an hour and a half nap in the morning, an hour and a half nap in the afternoon. And those are the times that I can, like, take a shower or get laundry done or do the dishes or things like that.
Or breathe. For 1 second.
Or, you know, I have a Peloton. Yeah. Get on my Peloton.
You told me you've used it, how many times?
Like 5.
Yeah. I feel you. I haven't gotten on ours at all.
Have one too?
We have one.
Of course you do.
But I don't use it.
I will say, like, breastfeeding for as long as I did, you just don't want to exercise. That was just my feeling about breastfeeding. You're tired.
It's so all-encompassing to nurse a baby. Like, people don't talk about the time it takes to sit and nurse. Right. Sometimes you're nursing 30, 40 minutes, and then as soon as you're done, there's like 40 minutes and they're hungry again. Like,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Such a
Well, and when
big
they get older, too,
set.
I would spend, you know, I would nurse her, you know, and then I'd have to pump. So you're like having to juggle pumping with nursing, with their play schedule, a nap schedule, and all these things. And so for me, you know, honestly, in those beginning days, that's all I did. I literally felt like I was just around sleep and feeding. And
well, that's
obviously
one of the
diapers.
Pros, right? Is that you can actually spend that time with the breastfeeding and stuff and trying to get that figured out, because some moms have to figure it out before they get back to work.
But I will tell you, my sister, who just went back to work, she was on a 4-month maternity leave. She goes, I got to the office on my first day back. I had a cup of like coffee. And I went to a pumping room and I just sat there in silence for 40 minutes. And she goes, it was amazing. And I was like, see, there are some perks about being able to like go back to work and like not be interrupted. Because, you know, I would be pumping and I'd have a screaming kid or my crazy dog needed to go outside or something was happening. So it's not that peaceful at home sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like just this is another conversation for another day. But if companies made it easier for moms to come back to work and made it just a little bit more enjoyable, maybe, and not so cutthroat, like the second they walk back, act like they've never had a kid.
Completely.
It might be, I don't know, people might enjoy going back to work more. You know what I mean?
I think so. I think like if you were able to, for that first year of life, have a flexible schedule or something that kind of promoted you going back to work, but also being able to be home, take sick days whenever you wanted, you know, those type of things, I think would be so helpful.
Because for a lot of moms that have to work, it's pretty black and white.
Yep.
Like, okay, maternity leave is over. Pretend like you never had a kid, you know, don't talk about it. Don't whatever. Yep. And now you are working again.
But a lot of moms,
and
especially in the United States, don't even get 4 months.
I know.
It's so sad.
My sister-in-law, Michelle, she is a paramedic for the Philadelphia Fire Department. No paid maternity leave, mm-hmm. even though she worked for
fire
the
department?
City.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, and
I mean, that's a demanding job, too.
Crazy. And then you're working like, you know, these crazy hours in a high risk position. And, you know, it's just not like a welcoming environment for somebody who is a mom. always. Agreed. You know, and there's a lot of companies like that.
Well, I think it makes the case for a lot of women to be like, I'm going to give up my career because this is just horrible to go back to, which is sad because I think some people really do want to continue a career. But
I wish it wasn't so black and white, I guess. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wish there was a little bit more flexibility because I read this study and I'm definitely going to butcher it, but it was something along the lines of a company was experimenting with this like different flexible schedule with new moms and had them come into the office maybe like 2-3 days a week and then like really flexible, like work from home kind of hours. And they found that moms are some of the most productive employees that like have ever existed because they know how to be extremely efficient.
Well, yeah,
and,
once
like,
we figure out our situation
and organized, they're like, oh my God, my baby's having 20 minutes. Boom, watch me crush 20 emails, you know? Like,
exactly.
And I just wish that it wasn't so divisive, like you're either a working mom or you're a stay-at-home mom. I wish there was a little bit more of a gray situation where you can kind of do a little bit of both.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, I think about that sometimes. Obviously, that's a different conversation, a bigger conversation.
You want to leave the listeners with any words of advice if they're trying to decide if they should be a
stay-at-home
mom?
Yeah, that's a good way to leave.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think it's really an individual decision. And I think it should be your decision and not, you don't listen to family members. Don't listen to, like, your husband might be able to weigh in or your partner might be able to weigh in. But it really should come down to what you deem best for yourself and your child. Whether your mental health needs to be away from home or you want to be home. I think it comes down to an individual feeling and what you want to do with that time that you have.
Yeah. And then finding gratitude, which you've obviously done.
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes. Absolutely. Some mornings I will have changed like 6 diapers plus the dog and the dishes. And I'm like, I hate this. I'm going back to work. I'm finding a job now. So I don't have to. But the realization is, even if you're a working mom, you still have to come home and do all that too.
Yeah, totally.
Never ending. I think it's worth it always, though. Yeah. But it's never ending.
It's worth it? The diapers? Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, no. I mean motherhood.
Oh, motherhood. Yeah. I was like, sometimes the day. Well, I mean motherhood sometimes. Sometimes also. Sometimes I'm like, damn it. No. I love my kids, but sometimes I'm definitely like, what the hell did I get myself into?
I feel the same way. I love my daughter and I want to have more, but oh my God. Some days I look at her and I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, all of us.
It'd be so much easier just to leave.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, Laura, thank you so much. I'm hoping you're going to come back to our podcast a few more times, right?
Sure. Anytime.
Yeah.
It was so great to chat with you and get to know you even better.
Thank you, Sharzad.
We'll talk to you guys soon, right? Yeah. I guess that's how we're ending. How are we ending this?
That's all for today, folks.
That's all today, guys. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Find us in our private Facebook group.
Leave a review. Rate us. That would be awesome. We'd really appreciate that, too. And until next time.
Bye.
Bye.